you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Who's out there? Who's listening? Are we getting closer? Is it over? I don't know. When did I record these interviews? It seems like forever ago. I think I'm finally losing it. All the same, welcome back to You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisiting. It's a brand new day. We're one day closer. I keep saying that. I'm trying. I'm sure you are too. Today, we're going to reach out and revisit with Drew Matthews, whom you may have seen in Bluff City Law and Lodge 49, among numerous others, and Tyler Barnhart, who plays Charlie St. George in the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, and he's playing Danny Jansen in the new Amazon miniseries Tales from the Loop. I just watched that the other day. He's fantastic, so make sure you check that out. Both of these guys are incredible, ridiculously talented, funny, and charming. I just had to sit back and press record. These guys make it easy. Here we go.
Lock that kid down.
You know, the challenge of all that is she has no clue why we haven't gone outside.
Oh, right.
I gotta tell you, look, here's a funny story. So her preschool, they were like, we're gonna do show and tell from home. So we're using Zoom, who could be behind this entire thing. Right. They're profit margin is outrageous.
You bought stock in Zoom, right? Are we all buying stock in Zoom?
Yeah, right? And Purell. Anyway, and so the teacher, you know, so if you've used Zoom, you can set up your virtual background. You can, you know, okay, so the teacher took a picture of the classroom, and then you put it behind you. So Stella, my four-year-old, mm-hmm. a young four, thinks everyone's at school.
No.
And that we have just been keeping her home.
Oh no.
And so show and tell turned into a crying fit.
Oh,
and
no.
She was so ready to show Olaf from Frozen 2. And when she saw, and she was like, she instantly just did that, like, I'm gonna tuck myself into the,
oh my god,
because we have to sit with them. And I was like, oh no. And we were like, what is wrong, Stella? Why are you not doing your thing, sweetie? Go ahead, we're performers, you're letting the family down, go ahead. and she was just like, I don't want to, you know. And then but it was later that day, she was like, why was everyone at school and I'm still at home? And we were like, oh snap, that's what it was. Oh gosh.
That poor thing. That poor thing.
Hey, look, they were doing construction right next to our house. So it's like rattling. They were like repaving the stuff, and it's like rattling up my china cabinet, our bar over here. It's like, and so Stella comes out of her room playing Barbie Dreamhouse, and swear to God, she goes, I don't know, I shouldn't be smiling when I say this, but she goes, is that the virus? It's not funny, but my wife and I were like, it was so tragic and sad and funny at the same time. She asked if that was the virus outside that she was hearing. That's the only way she could process it. It was crazy.
Well, exactly. But see, it wouldn't be funny if you or I said that. The fact that it came from a four-year-old is the only thing that allows it to be funny. Otherwise,
I know.
Yeah, heartless morons. Oh my god!
Is that the virus out there? It's a bulldozer. But
pretty similar.
Her little brain.
Pretty similar.
Her little brain was trying to figure it out. It
yes.
Crazy.
How you doing, man? Look at you.
Man, I'm doing great. Well, I mean, we're making the most of it.
Yeah.
I, you know, what is this? Is this a new way of life? Is this the new norm? Is this a Band-Aid solution? I don't, you know, to things. I don't know.
I don't either.
We're hanging in there. We're doing the best we can. But I know this is the beginning of a movie, or the end of a movie. Right?
I mean, how many movies do you think are going to be? Yeah. How many COVID-19s parts 1, 2, and 3 and 12 are going to be made?
The prequel.
Yeah.
Of course. We're still pressing on, you know, mm-hmm. with work and all that kind of stuff at the studio and things like that. And
yeah, I look forward to you telling me all about that. Just real quick for everybody who's listening, we are now visiting with our good friend Drew Matthews, who's come back to visit us again here during this crazy time of uncertainty and And bulldozers.
And virtual backgrounds.
Right. And children who don't know, who don't quite understand. Man.
You can't explain it. You can't explain dying. You can't explain, right. You know.
I mean, I don't have kids, so I don't know what the progress level is for things like that, for subjects like that. So, I mean, so you're not even at that point with her.
Right. Yes. Yeah, she doesn't understand dying.
Right.
You know, we understand getting sick.
Okay.
We understand getting sick, and we had to explain it. We've had to explain it that there were so many children that have gotten sick at school that we want to make sure no one else is going to get sick. And so we're going to stay at home. We're going to do school from home. Yeah. Learning how to do homeschooling. And you know what was challenging? This sounds like I'm a horrible parent, but I bet if there's another parent out there, they'll probably get it. But it's like, oh my God, I've got to wait. I have to show you this.
Go ahead.
This is our life right now. This is our life. You might not be able to see this, but we have to make our lesson plans for our kid, and we're studying the letter R.
Wow.
Mondays we're having but we live in a little condo complex here. So yep. So we're looking for red fire hydrants, and you know, my wife made our complex community bingo. All right. And so, cause we have to get her outside. So we created like bingo cards, and like, if we see a Volkswagen, we put a thing on it.
Right.
And now if we see somebody walking a dog, like we've had to get crazy unique with all this cause she needs an hour outside, but yet
right.
It was really challenging cause she, you know, sees kids from the neighborhood and we can't run up and touch them or say, hey, you know, so anyway, that's,
well, that's a whole new adjustment. I mean, that's I can't imagine what it's done. I mean, you guys seem, from what I see, from what you post, and you know, including Stella, you're always pretty creative and active with her. But clearly, this has taken on a whole different element to it, where you're having to sort of recreate your creativity.
Well, yeah, and you're recreating it with limitations,
right?
And the whole thing, like being a good parent, maybe like a couple of months ago. Would be someone saying like, how much screen time are you allowing your child to have? You know, oh, you're not giving them too much screen time. Well, we do live in a small condo and on the third floor with neighbors all around. And, right. And so, you know, I mean, so we do get the notification of you know, we had a complaint, your child is too loud. Well, yeah, you know, what do you do about that?
What do you do?
We know, trust me. I think she is, agreed. Please come in, put on your mask. You know what? There's been a whole new introduction of fears with her. So like all of a sudden it's like I made the joke about her hearing the virus outside but she's super turned into a big tattletale where she, you know, did you wash your hands? You have to wash your hands. You know, I sneezed one time and I think I was like, oh, shoot. And she was like, that's on your hands. Like it has to go like this.
Right.
So she's turned into that. Well, there's so many new fears. I don't know if she was ready to be introduced to, and we don't really watch the news, but she's smart enough to figure out we're not going to the grocery store. We're not going to the park anymore. We're not doing it. Like the only thing we're doing is we're staying in the house and taking forced walks in the parking lot.
Wow.
So, that's a unique sell for a child.
Well, I got to tell you, I am thoroughly enjoying the makeover shows. Thoroughly enjoying the makeover shows. You are probably the best sport dad.
I love
you know, sidekick that I've ever seen. I mean, and man, you guys are in trouble with her. You guys are in trouble.
Yeah.
You're going to have your hands full. In the best possible way, I say that. But man, she is something else.
Yeah, we have a good time. I blame Chase and Tara, casting directors, for this whole thing. I do. I blame them wholeheartedly. You know why?
Why is that? Okay. Tell me why.
Because maybe like a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, I had to dress up in drag for an audition for them. I'd never done it. And I was a little nervous about it because I don't know why. Maybe I was insecure, had something going on with myself. Anyway, but my wife was like, let's do it. Let's have fun. So my girls, they painted me, doctored me up.
Yep.
It was the most, I didn't book it. It was the most fun audition I've ever had. And right then and there, I was like, I think I like total dress up, total commitment.
Might
and,
as well. Go big or go home.
It was great. And so now I'm like, yeah, let's play with makeup. Who cares? I don't care.
That is so awesome. And I've never met your wife before, but the video that you posted with the cup of coffee, I was like, good God, your entire family is just adorable. You guys are just the cutest effing things ever.
We know we love each other because
that's good.
We love that. We love playtime and experimenting. Not our marriage. I didn't mean it like that. I meant like
I didn't even think about it.
Well, that is.
But even if you too. Do, hey, as long as great. Everybody's on board. As long as everybody's on
We're
board.
We're great. We have our safe word. No. It's tissues. It's toilet paper. That's our safe word.
Oh, yeah.
Purell is the safe word.
Right.
But we like putting on a show for people, our friends. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what we do for a living, right? Whether we're teaching or acting or whatever. But to do that effectively, we have to have time at home where we are not having to put on a show at all.
Sure.
And so she's really cool about being honest, like, hey, I'm going to flip out and lose my you-know-what if I don't have an hour to myself. And I'm the same way. Like, you know,
awesome.
And I love that we can just tell each other that and it not be, oh, you don't want to hang out with me?
Has it changed your situation with your wife now? Like, is she home more? Was she, because she's an actress as well. I thought that she...
Yeah, she is, yes. Kind of interesting for both of us to... At least now, nobody has to argue about who's got more auditions.
Right. <That's> kinda...
Check that off the list.
Tied at zero. How have you been able to keep it going?
Yeah, so, okay, I'll give you a little breakdown of what we've had to do. Well, the reality is, you know, we don't charge a lot at our studio. We never wanted money to be an obstacle for someone to follow their passion or their dream. We've never seen ourselves as elite. You know, there's a lot of acting teachers out there that brag about themselves, that they sell themselves. And so if you're coming to train with them, you're training with them and their resume and all that jazz. And they, you know, they have their reels playing inside the studio or pictures of their own movies or things like that. Well, we just, you know, our sell is technique and the students. And not us. And because of that, we've chosen to make our customers a priority over the teacher. And that means the income that we make is not enough to be our bread and butter, our only thing. So we have to also book as actors to make it. Having said that, if we don't offer a solution, we close the studio down. So that's kind of how it goes. So like I said, I don't want that to be grim. That was just something that we were kind of looking at. And I love a challenge. I'm an underdog. I love a challenge. I like it when you think I'm down and out in the third set.
Sure.
I come back from behind. I've always been like that.
Tennis reference. There
that's right. So because of that, I said, okay, well, let me do some reconnaissance work. I understand people are switching to online coaching. You know, what does that mean for us? Because if I was selling myself, I could probably do online coaching lectures and people would want to just communicate with me and hear about my time on set. When I coach and sell a technique and I sell that you are going to make it, not that you're going to come and work with me because I've made it. But when I sell that you are going to make it, I have to really think of what can I provide? What goods and services can I provide that are not going to be me just lecturing for 2 hours about something? That's called masterclass. That's called the great courses. And I like those things, but that's not what we do. So if I were to do that, man, I think that would be a unique change for me, and I wouldn't feel right doing it. I've never felt right selling myself. So, and in a weird way, I don't feel like I have anything to sell about myself, and that could be like a bad thing, or some people like it as a good thing, you know. Like,
sure.
But for me, you know, I've always I look forward to the day where I see myself as you know one of the greats. You know, like some of these other teachers, they just sell their resume hardcore. I don't do that.
Right.
But that drives me to find. That's an incredible drive that I have because I can't ever settle because there's some small super objective in me that's like, when are you going to be good one day? When are you going to be good? You know, so anyway, I was a little vulnerable saying that, but it is kind of
what's so great about you.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. but that is what it is. So, you know, I've been looking at other places all around the United States, and so I was like, well, maybe I can take some of my money that I have saved up for my own educational things. I have a little bank account that I set up, and I put a small percentage every month. Anytime I get a paycheck, I take a small percentage of that and put it into this checking account. It's just for a training, just for education, wherever it can be. And so I was like, well, let me start looking at what other places are doing. And my assessment of that is it seems like a lot of people are doing lecture style formats. So I said, I told Lee, the other, you know, teacher at our studio, and I said, all right, man, give me a couple days. I'm going to have to go buy corporate software for the studio instead of just generic software. Let me get corporate and webinar software and do all that. And so let's start thinking of how we can now interact with them from their homes and still fulfill the techniques that we want. And so it would take too long for me to explain what I had to do. But essentially, I was like, let me go through every classical training book that I can find, of every physical movement exercise I can find, of every vocal movement, vocal exercise I can find, of every emotional or sense memory work I can find. Now let me start thinking of homework I can assign to them so I can check. This is a really great opportunity for teachers to figure out, what do your students know? Give them an assignment and ask them to teach it to you. I know that's so basic. Make your students teach you. Just say, I'm going to give you 10 minutes and I want you to teach me about the concepts of public solitude. I want you to teach me about sense memory. Explain to me psychological gestures from Chekhov, and I want you to incorporate them in this scene. Teach it to me as if I'm from another planet. I have no clue. I don't speak the language. Teach it to me. Well, in doing that, I've realized real quickly there's about 30% that have been winging it in class. So this gives me a whole new, because you can't escape in the stuff like this. So. Because there's also no distractions. It's been kind of cool also, a typical 2-hour, 3-hour class at the studio in person, well, doing it on Zoom, we're eliminating bathroom breaks and chatter, and people aren't asking as many questions per se.
Sure.
They're not
sure.
Butting over here, and they're not on their phones because their phone is now typically being used. So it like has eliminated 30% of, you know, maybe they're not 30%, maybe like 30 minutes of wasted class time, that's been good. So I was like, okay, I get to add more things. And well, the homework assignment has been like the biggest thing that I've been able to really give them stuff to do. Send it to me. Let's watch it live for everyone. You can't escape that. And now let's start setting up other things where I can. But I've had to learn how to multitask. And Lee's been participating with me in some of the classes. And for me to get the students super involved and not be a lecture thing, I'm drained at the end of the night. And right. I'm just so worn out because I'm having to look at the screen, talk to them, make sure
right.
Megan over here is not goofing around. I'm taking the notes. Now I have to manage as like the I'm producing the thing, and I got to spotlight it to you so I can see what you're doing. And then,
wow,
you know, we're working around dogs in the background or things like sure. that. So it's sure. when it's over with at night, I'm exhausted. Now, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are using our online technology as a Band-Aid because they believe it will end at some point in time. I'm going to challenge us to now incorporate it mostly as this could be a forever type of learning. And no longer a Band-Aid. But you have to kind of decide. Now, all of us teachers feel a little differently about that. Because if you can go in person and work with someone in person, why not? And I apologize, they're leaf blowing.
No, it's all right.
Right out there, brother.
It's part of the magic.
Don't
it's
you love the magic. Leaf blower? Want to open that?
Oh, yeah.
I am Skyping with someone of very big importance in my life. Do you not know him?
That's right. You may have seen him.
Plug.
right.
Oh,
shameless plug.
Anyway, well, that's kind of yeah. what we're doing, dude. And
but I that's
you know what?
Phenomenal.
And here's the deal: 127 students, only 2 have dropped out.
Whoa!
We haven't skipped a beat. Now it's been killing me from this point because I'm a lesson plan guy. Because if you train with me, I want you to know what I'm bringing to the table. And wow. It's overwhelming. But guess what? It can be done. We're doing it. You can do it too. So
damn.
I know.
You never disappoint.
Hey, man.
Never cease to amaze me.
Well, look, there's two things your body's always in. Let's go back to the science of it all.
Let's do it.
Your body's in one of two, you know, positions always. You're either in survival or you're in creating. That's it. You can't be in, you're just always in one or the other. That's it. That's life. Create or survive. And if you're surviving, then you're living under stress hormones and you're making choices based upon not really feeling as confident, feeling as strong as you possibly can. That's not a good place to be. And that's important for actors to know, you know, when they're auditioning, when they're going into the casting room, they're doing callbacks, they're Zooming with someone, whatever. If you are in a place of stress, you're not in a place of creativity. It is biologically impossible to be in both. Now you can transition your stress in the middle of it and learn how to function and survive in it. And all of a sudden creativity can get you, but make no mistake, you're either in survival, which is stress-based living, stress-centered living, or you're creating. And that's the place you want to be. So there you go. So we got to make that choice and we have to recognize that. Am I acting out of stress? Am I acting out of creativity? Hopefully we're going to go out of creativity. So I've got to, anytime I prepare or work with students or anything like that, I got to figure out how can I make sure I'm in the least stressful environment? How relaxed can I be? What breathing exercises can I do? What stretches can I do? Sometimes when I'm teaching class, I feel like I'm doing like an old P90X video where like I'm like the guy in the front and I've got my, you know, because when we first, see, now we're fully online. When we first started, it was like, if you want to stay at home, you can, and I'll set up this system. And so I had half the students with me, behind me, and I was teaching like a live TV show to the others. Now it's just fully there. And oh man, I'm getting prepared to host, be the next host of Wheel of Fortune or something like that. That's what I'm going to do. That's the dream job for me, baby. That's the dream.
That's a really good gig.
Then I could guarantee my father would see me. Hmm. No, I'm just kidding. Super objective. No, I'm just kidding. I've made that joke.
There you go.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune host. Pat Sajak, watch out, baby.
Man, well, I'm definitely envious of you from the standpoint of you've still been able to keep your hand in the whole process.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking about, man, when we finally get the green light to open up the gates or whatever, and the first audition comes through, I'm afraid I'm going to be like, what? What is this?
Yeah.
Who's closing my... It's because...
I know. You know what? If you pretend... you know, we don't like saying the word pretend in acting, right? Because that implies it's fake. I remember my wife busting me for that one time. I was teaching a kid's class and we were teaching together. This was like years ago. And I was like, let's pretend that we're blah, blah, blah. And she like low-key came up to me and she was like, don't say pretend. It's as if. And I was like, okay. Okay. Anyway, let's pretend. Blah, blah, blah. She totally busted me on that. So as long as you are acting as if you are currently doing it, the brain can't separate the difference from imagination and reality, right? After a certain period of time. That's how you can believe your own lie. So, you know, I mean, one of our goals is we haven't stopped. The training is still going. We're giving fake auditions to people all the time. I mean, obviously not charging them for it or anything like that, hey, here's an audition. I don't care if you're training or not. Send it in. Come on, let me practice my ability to critique. Here, I'm trying to get better. Send it to me, whatever. And anybody out there listening, you want to get in on some fake auditions? You want to start practicing? Send it to us. Go to our website. It's free. Come on. Just reach out.
What's the website?
www.in-studio.org. InStudio.org.
In-studio.org.
Yeah, just go. Come on. And just send us something. I'm happy to do it. I've had friends in LA. They've sent me things they've taped. And now, look, I can only offer an opinion. That's all. That's all I can equip you with. I can give you an opinion, and I can tell you statistically what may or may not work. That doesn't mean I have the answers. But if you want to get in the habit, and you want to keep that habit and keep that muscle sharp, come on, take me up on it. Send it to me. Let's help each other out. Like, I don't know what I can truly offer you other than just a practice, an opportunity. But maybe that's enough. Right. Maybe that'll snap it out. But come on, send them to us. I want some more practice in critiquing. Hey, because when I critique, man, I'm getting inspired too. They're doing it.
Certainly.
And it's a great way of thinking, I'm in the game. I'm playing. I'm in the running. You know, it's not like right. What's so challenging is when does it end? I don't know how to wrap my head around that. So maybe you've got some advice. The uncertainty of when it ends is that can drive you mad. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, that's the only thing that I'm a little nervous about. So that's why I have to act as if this is forever. I will always be teaching this way. If I don't do that, I won't show up. I'll phone it in. I got to act. This is my only method of communicating for the rest of 2020. For the next 5 years, this is it. So this is the new normal. I'm going to teach this way and I'm going to be effective this way. Because if I don't, I have to assume we're never going back. It's such a wonderful wake-up call for me of like, you know, I thought I was a decent teacher. And now I'm like, oh, brother, I've got to step it up. Step it up.
Wow.
What a cool thing. Like I said, you know, me and Kelsey, we just had to decide it's never going back. We had to make that choice. As my mom would say, you have to burn the ships. Like the Moravians from Winston-Salem, when they came over here from Europe, they were like, we're not going back, guys. We got to burn the ships. Because if we don't burn the ships, we think we're going back and we'll never fully function here as a community when they escaped Europe. Maybe Germany or something like that. Anyway, but you got to burn the ships. You got to burn the ships. So, but I know a lot of our kids aren't doing it. And here's the thing. Not every parent is equipped to teach, to educate, because, and also we've been learning, like our basic math, the way we learn math is not the way they learn math now. We were talking about, Kelsey was asking me something about, Stella's curriculum was about learning about the ocean and the different, there's like the sunlight zone and the something zone or whatever. And we were talking about the zones of the ocean. And I was like, oh, yes, that is blah, blah, blah. And she was like, no, that information was outdated back in 2001. And I was like, oh, my. So the things that I thought I knew I could help her out with, I actually am a moron. So I can't.
2 + 2 no longer equals 4?
No, it is 3.989716. And we have just been rounding up our entire life. But you know what I'm saying? Like, half the parents they're not equipped. It's not their fault. They're not equipped for it. The information that what I thought was history is now upgraded. You know, whatever. There's this really cool quote that when I was going through my spiritual awakening, and it was like, I must be prepared to live today by whatever truth I have, and tomorrow be prepared to call it falsehood. And so like. That used to be on my, when I had my MySpace page, that was like the quote on my MySpace, you know? You know, when you could also have the soundtrack, and I would have like,
that's right.
I could have
that's
Mercy right. Me's, I Can Only Imagine, or something like that up there. But I was so conflicted spiritually. I would go from Mercy Me, and then I would go to like Nirvana, and I would go back and forth or whatever. So anyway, yeah, it's not the parents' fault. They're doing the absolute best they can. We will get through it. And of course,
then you throw all the other things that they're being forced to deal with now, on top of just the kids being home and schooling them. Where's the paycheck coming from? Are we filing for unemployment? How long is this going to go on for? Am I going to be forced to go back to work? Am I going to have all the other stuff on top of it.
And that's the thing. Okay, so like I said, if we're doing a callback reference, if we're living in survival, we're not creative. That's the thing we've somehow got, and I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. Maybe your next guest does. I don't know. We've got to somehow find a way that in all of this crazy chaos, we can somehow find a way to not look to survive, but look to create.
Well, look, dude, thanks for visiting, catching up for a little
Absolutely.
While.
I don't know what to say about Drew Matthews. I don't know what it is. He just makes me want to be a better person. I love it when he comes to hang out. Let's take a short break with this message from the CDC and the Queen City Podcast Network.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. There are so many great podcasts on the network, and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com. So today's shout-out isn't so much a shout-out. I don't know, maybe it is. It's hard to tell. I want a shout, but this person deserves so much more than that. This past week, I lost a very dear friend of 25 years, my friend Paige Johnston Thomas, who was a huge fan of mine and a huge fan of the podcast. She was this incredible ball of light and life and enthusiasm and creativity and spirit, and she was taken from us way too soon, way too soon. I'm so grateful to have had her as a friend and to have had her in my life and to be a part of hers. I don't want to bring this down because I know this is a podcast and this is supposed to be fun and uplifting. And that's what she would want, I think, as well, is that she would want us to keep creating and keep spreading light and joy and telling stories and inspiring people the way that she inspired so many others. So that's what I want to do. I want this to really just be a moment of celebration for her, not of sadness, but of joy, to keep creating and being artists and sharing things with each other. So Paige Johnston Thomas, I love you. I miss you. My thoughts and prayers are with your husband Jay and your entire family, and we're going to do our best to make you proud. So with that being said, let's get back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the one and only Tyler Barnhart.
Dude, I am I'm good. First of all, your setup looks sick. You look like very, very professional right now. Your backdrop, the headphones, they match the shirt you're wearing.
I know, right?
You got like one of those rock salt lights in the background or something.
Yeah, I got the Himalayan salt lamp because we got to keep the good juju flowing.
I just see you in a little box right now on my iPad and you look legit as fuck. Excuse my language.
I'll take it, I guess. I don't know.
I haven't seen anyone in 3 weeks, man.
Right? So you're back in your home? You're in Charlotte, Matthews?
Oh my gosh. To anyone listening, I hope they don't judge me. I live in New York, so about 3.5 weeks ago, my girlfriend and I decided, because her job had stopped, she's working at a casting office.
Right.
Had stopped, and I had basically been told by my manager we weren't getting any more in-person auditions from SAG. So very last minute, we said, all right, let's go to Miami. That's where her family lives. Mm-hmm. Let's get out of New York in case this gets bad. We bought tickets for a week, and we flew to Miami, and like shortly after that, like 3 or 4 days later, it got to the point where it was looking like New York was going to get hit really, really bad, right?
Yeah.
And so we stayed there. We've been there the whole time. We haven't left the house. And then now it looks like we're probably not going to go back to New York for a few months. So we hopped in the car yesterday and we just wore gloves when we had to get gas. And I just drove the whole way to North Carolina so we could spend some time with my family, who's been doing the same thing, quarantining. Like, I don't want people to get the idea that I'm just bouncing around. We have been really, really careful to not leave the house and,
yeah,
you know, symptoms, 14 days, that sort of thing. But I just felt like, you know, now is a good time to be with, you know, my mom's a teacher. She's at home. My dad's at home now working from home. Like, my brother and sister are home from school. So now we're in North Carolina for a week.
Everybody listening, we're talking to our good friend Tyler Barnhart from 13 Reasons Why, again, coming to visit during this pandemic, during this time of chaos and madness and uncertainty. Welcome to the fray. So thanks for connecting with me to catch up a little bit. First of all, I don't blame you one bit for not, you know, wanting to hang out in New York City. I mean, Jesus, it sounds awful, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody right now. I mean, I had another friend of mine who is predominantly a theater actress, her and her husband, and he had been booked to do a show in Fort Myers in Florida. And of course, that show got canceled, but they were in the middle of rehearsals, and the theater is letting them stay there until the coast is clear. You know,
wow.
How phenomenal is that?
That's amazing. And you know, it's messed up because part of the sign, you know, one, New Yorkers don't wait for a problem. So I guess I'm just not a real New Yorker yet, right? Because I was like, peace. And then, you know, two, the problem is that if you weren't smart about it, that's the reason it's still spreading, right? We're all just leaving. Right. We're like, goodbye, New York.
Right.
But my whole mindset was, I didn't have any symptoms at the time. This is before they kind of had really talked about, oh, you can have it without having it. And also, you know, I think personally, just, you know, unscientific approach, the reason it spread so much in New York is because everyone rides the subway, whether you're poor, rich, whatever.
Yeah.
And I couldn't live my life there without riding the subway. So
no.
You can't get an Uber because chances are there's a sick person that's ridden in the Uber. So it was just like, in that moment, we decided we need to leave. we're both adults, but yet we still would be better off to be with one of our sets of parents.
Yeah.
Just that's the, and so, yeah, but I do, it's scary there right now.
And look, man, no one's going to blame you for wanting to be with your family during this time. That makes complete and total sense to me. I've had more contact with all of my family members in the past 3 weeks than I have probably in the last, you know, 6 months or year.
And hopefully that's some good, you know, hopefully good content. That's some good that can come out of this, right?
Absolutely. And I've talked about that with some other people in some of the other interviews where it may sound a little strange, but it's like on a human level, on the growth of mankind and just humanity in general, I'm not ready for this to be over because I think that we have a lot to take from this. And I think it would be really easy for us to go back into the old patterns and the old habits and the way things used to be without, I guess, I don't know, learning the lesson.
You know, when we were driving just yesterday on the road, 10 hours, it was because there was no traffic. So it was 10 hours from Miami to Charlotte. We stopped by Bojangles in Georgia because my girlfriend is a Miami girl. She doesn't know what Bojangles is. So when she sees it, she goes crazy. We stop and nobody in the parking lot, nobody in the drive-thru. They are open, though. We go through. The woman was so sweet and nice. And I pull up to the window to get the food to pay. And to the point where I had to say, like, you know, I don't know if you're having a good day or what, but I know times are crazy right now. And I just want to say thank you so much for, one, being open. And two, right. your kindness is contagious. And she looked at me with the biggest smile. And she says, I'm just so happy that we're still open and that I have a job. And, I'm almost crying at this point. I'm just like,
sure.
Ugh.
Sure.
Like, you know, that is so true. Just kind of what you it reminded me exactly what you just talked about.
And,
like,
and honestly, even from their perspective, I'm sure that most of the people in the service industry who work at fast food or wait tables or are cashiers at a supermarket, I know this is a huge generalization, but, you know, it's always kind of been the sense that you've gotten where they're like, I fucking hate this job. I hate that I have to do this. And now it's like, wow. Thank God I have a job and I still have an income and I'm still able to work. Unfortunately, it sucks that our lives have to be threatened on a global level for us to truly see and appreciate what we have and who's around us and all the people that make the world go round.
You know? Oh, I agree. But on the same token, Brian, you know, I look at all these people that are, you know, this is dark humor, but
sure.
For anyone who does not want to listen, you can mute me now. But, I look around and I tell people that aren't artists that are getting furloughed or laid off. I'm like, okay, welcome to the club. Now you're an actor.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll teach you how to file for unemployment. Don't worry. I'll give you a seminar. Like, I got you. Like, you know, we always are struggling for work and it's just, on a grand scale, a global scale, it's really, really sad to see that everyone is now starting to, if they still have their job, they're thankful for it. They're counting the lucky stars. If they've been just laid off, they're freaking out in multiple households. Both people have been laid off. It's like, those are very, very scary times. And so, yeah, I think hopefully the world continues to be empathetic. And
I hope so. I really do hope so.
Get together.
So I'm gonna mess with you a little bit. So when you were hanging out in Miami in the early stages of this, were you one of those millennials that was fucking things up for everybody and going like, screw it, I'm going to the beach.
No, so
I'm hanging out.
It's funny, actually, you say that because people who know me well, I am the biggest rule follower there is. And so to the point where, and I know my girlfriend's parents now pretty well, we've been dating for a year, but you know, I'm still visiting their house, right? Like I'm still a guest, but her mom was like, should I get the house cleaner to come on Wednesday? And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, I think you should continue to pay her, but we will clean for you. And she was like,
there you go.
Ugh, okay. And we did, we cleaned. The next day she was like, I really want to get my hair done. I'm like, Anna Christina, why does it matter? No one's going to see you. You're not leaving this house. So I would have everyone on lockdown and they started calling me Dr. Fauci. So I was like, you know what? Like, I know I'm a guest here, but none of y'all are leaving because you're not getting me sick. You're not getting sick. I know we live in a great place. We can go outside on walks,
right?
And we can, you know, FaceTime people. But you ain't going to the stores and stuff unless it's absolute.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic. You became the enforcer.
And of course, they you know, she's halfway kidding, but
right.
We're used to doing all these different things on the daily, and now to be stuck at home, it sucks. But Yeah, I was laying down the law for sure. I was like, absolutely not. Her younger brother's back from college. Poor kid, he's a sophomore. And, you know, his whole semester just got canceled, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a fraternity. He's having the best time of his life. He, like, wants to go meet up with his friends. I'm like, you can't go, man. Sorry, you have to play 2K with me here. You can't go. Like, right. And he's like, I understand, but this sucks. And I'm like, it does suck.
Sure. Sure.
It does suck.
How's your family doing?
Thank you for asking. They're good. Yeah. Like I said, we're lucky enough that, you know, my dad works for Harris Teeter, and it's a grocery chain for people who don't know. So they're crushing right now. They just hired 5,000 people. It's essential. And he works in the corporate office, so he's lucky enough that he can work from home now. And my mom's a teacher, so she's had to, you know, figure out how to get things online. And she's the technology teacher for her school, so she's been in charge of helping any student who can't get online and stuff. It's been different, but but they both are, thank God, secure with their jobs. They're both essential workers, kind of, in this pandemic. Yeah, and that was part of the reason we were lucky to get out of New York, too. It's like, to spend arguably the best season in an apartment is just not good. You know, they've closed the parks now. You can't go outside really in New York.
Wow, right.
You know, like you say, oh, I'm going to go for a run. No, you actually cannot go for a run in the park now in New York because it's closed.
Wow.
And I know they have to do that, but so at least we're lucky. You know, there's a pool in Miami at my girlfriend's house, and here in Charlotte we have a neighborhood where we can walk around. And I'm not going back to New York before April 30th. I'm telling myself mentally right now, so I don't go completely insane. Like I'm telling myself 60 days right now. My manager in LA actually told me a couple of days ago that it's probably TV shows and movies aren't going to pick back up until after July 4th. Yeah. That's 4 months away. He told me, it's just like, no one wants to start back up and then someone gets sick on the crew and the whole crew gets, you know, then you have way more liability in terms of your policies and stuff of paying people. Like then you're kind of screwed. So I think it's July.
Yeah.
You know, like I was joking earlier, but as an actor, like I did file for unemployment, and luckily that New York's unemployment lasts a lot longer than North Carolina's. For the time being, and with the Senate passed with the stimulus package, it's actually going to be okay. I don't have to worry. It's crazy. I got a crazy acting thing to tell you, you want to hear it.
I do want to hear it.
Because everyone pretty much, you know, stage, film, TV, no one's working, right? Like, it's not happening. But I actually did last week work on post for season 4 of 13, because that show has been in the can now. We stopped shooting in December, but it's in post, and I'd gone into the studio a couple times to do ADR in New York, and they're on the second to last episode right now, and they needed ADR, so they actually sent me, there's an app on the App Store I didn't even know, and they sent me all the cues and everything.
Oh my God.
And they're like take your iPhone and go sit in the closet and do this ADR, please.
Are you serious?
So there's going to, I swear to God, so there's going to be finished ADR in the show that literally actors were doing on their phones, and that's unbelievable.
Our
sound mixer apparently has like a studio in his house, and he's still able to work from home. Okay. Actually, it's crazy day, because today on Amazon Prime is the Tales from the Loop, the show that I shot last year, came out today.
So that just came. I just saw the photo that you posted. So that you and Jonathan Pryce, you worked with Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
It was really, really cool, because I'm not a huge Game of Thrones fan. I knew the importance of him in that, but
was he?
But
oh, he I didn't. I've never seen it. So he was in Game of Thrones.
He's in Game of Thrones. He's the High Sparrow. For anyone who watches, you know, this dude's like a Bond villain, though, and he's been in so many things. He was just nominated
for an Oscar.
Yeah, and what was so funny about it is the day that we worked, we had about an hour and a half van ride into the town that we shot in. We had talked a little bit, you know, I'm not stepping on his toes. Like, I'm not trying to force conversation with him, because he's Jonathan Pryce. I get in a couple conversations. He lives in London. We start talking, and we're riding home after the day of work, and he gets in the van. He goes, it's just me, him, and the driver. And he goes, I'm terribly sorry, but I don't want to talk. And I was like, dude, me neither. Good night. And then we get about, you know, 10 minutes down the road, and he starts talking. And I'm like, you know, so what are you working on? He's like, well, I'm about to do a movie about the two popes for Netflix. And I was like, cool. Wow,
I haven't even done it yet.
And he's like, yeah, it's going to be some award buzz. And I was like, that's sick. Then he's like, I'm doing a play in New York, actually, in October. Here, give me your email. I'm going to send you comp tickets, and the sweetest man.
Okay. That's and a, I wasn't your in life York is when he, ridiculous.
When he did the play, I was in LA or I was in San Francisco. So I couldn't even take him up on the offer, but he was the sweetest man. And I it was a really it's really cool to just be I acted with him.
So give me a little just quick synopsis of the show. What am I getting into when I turn this thing on and watch it?
I think that what you're getting into, so that for anyone who doesn't know, Tales from the Loop is an eight episode mini series, and it's kind of an anthology series. So every episode is designed to kind of be a standalone episode. But what I love about it is that it does have elements that melt in to other stories and characters that continue to melt in throughout. It takes place in the 1980s, and it takes place in like a, it's crazy. It's 1980s, but it's like almost futuristic in some elements. There's some scientific elements and sci-fi all throughout. And I think it, like what I'm reading right now online and people that have their kind of first takes, it's like if Black Mirror meets Stranger Things, they had a baby.
Wow.
It's all based off this graphic artist, Simon Stollenhag, and his artwork. And it's beautiful. It is the most beautiful show I've ever been a part of and maybe will ever be a part of.
Are you in how many episodes? All eight?
I'm credited for 3 episodes.
Okay.
But the second episode is my it's me and my friend. It's our bread and butter. It's us. So it was a lot of fun to shoot. It was one of those episodes where you are working for 2 weeks and you literally work every single day, every scene, every day kind of situation. This is the same show that I actually ended up going to the hospital. I was deathly ill on set twice, where I was like puking. Sorry if anybody has an upset stomach situation, but
no, I didn't know about this.
I worked all day one day, and I got home that night, the hotel, went to bed, woke up at like 2 a.m, incredibly sick, was on the bathroom floor for 6 hours kind of thing, right? Go to work the next morning because I have to work all day.
Right.
And kind of slowly start to get better. The weekend passes. Monday, I wake up in the middle of the night again, deathly ill, call the producers in the morning. And I'm like, I am deathly ill again. And they're like, do we have to cancel today? We need to know in the next 30 minutes because we need to file an insurance claim if we do. All this stuff. I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm like, no, I'll go to work. And I'm like, I'll just bring 3 pairs of underwear in case I shit myself on the way to work. And I work the whole, I'm just like, have the medic ready for me when I get on set. And they're like, okay. So I meet with the medic. They pump me with Imodium, eating saltine crackers the whole day. I can't eat anything. Shoot some of the scenes outside. It's like 40 degrees outside. It's freezing. It's disgusting.
Oh my God.
I get back to my trailer to change after a 13-hour day, and I puke everywhere. And I ask my van driver, just is like, all right. And I tell the production, I'm like, I guess I got to go to the hospital. I go to the Canadian hospital because this is in Canada. It's not even in the United States. I get IV fluids checked and everything, blood work, everything.
Free healthcare.
Well, not for me. But no, I was in the hospital. I didn't stay overnight, but I was there for about 5 hours. I had 2 bags of IVs. I had blood work drawn, like stool sample, all this stuff. It was $100.
Oh my gosh.
It was so sad. I was like, I don't even need to file this in my insurance. This is so affordable. But then I go to bed for about 5 hours and I wake up and I feel like a brand new human. And I continue to work the rest of the week. It was insane.
And did they ever say this is what it is?
The doctor didn't know. He just said, it looks like you're severely dehydrated. And it makes sense because I couldn't. It was to the point, Brian, where I would drink. I woke up in the middle of the night and kept having this throwing up. And I knew I needed to drink something. So I would drink, a tiny bit of water. And 10 minutes later, it would come right back up. So I couldn't hold anything down.
Wow.
I don't know what it was in the water in Canada. The people were really friendly, but something hated me there. Man. It was crazy.
Oh, man. Well, I'll definitely have to check out this the show.
What are you doing to pass the time right now?
This is a big one. Lining people up was pretty challenging. You're like my 7th or 8th interview this week. I didn't have that over like 3 months, 4 months to talk to people. Everybody's like, I'm here. I'm around. What do you want to do? You want to do it tomorrow? Everybody's available now.
Yeah, so I was so happy to get your email. I know. I was like, I will definitely do it. And I can't wait to hear all the other people you talk to. You're like, when's a good time? I'm like, literally anytime. I actually, the other day, my friend that I had met when I worked at the Apple store in North Carolina. He was at the time he was a college professor at, I want to say Belmont Abbey, but one of the private schools, smallish private schools, teaching theater. And now he's at a school in Oklahoma. And he reached out to me last week and said, hey, I've got my senior class. They're really bummed out, man. Some of them had jobs already lined up. They've been canceled. They don't really know what the heck to do. Would you mind talking to them? And I was like, for sure. Well, my going rate usually is, but I'll do it for free. But I was like, of course I'll talk to them. And I talked to them last week. And, you know, you and I sit here as working artists and, you know, we're like, well, what the hell's next? But it was crazy to talk to these. I talked to about 30 students. And to talk to them to be like, what are we going to do, right? Like, you already feel so lost coming into this job. Whenever you choose to start, you kind of don't know where you're going. They're starting this job in this global pandemic. And it's just like, I just told them the best I could. Like, this too is going to pass. And what you can do now is make sure you're better than the person sitting next to you when the time comes that the auditions come in, right?
Right.
But I just felt so bad for them. It was a crazy, you know, my school showcase has been canceled.
Yeah.
UNCG. UNCG's showcase was canceled. How do you do acting classes online? I've been talking to my professor. He's kind of, you know, he's like, well, we're talking about self-tapes now because why not? You know, like,
yeah,
it seems like everyone is getting the short end of the stick in this, unfortunately.
Right.
Academic-wise.
Right. Oh, totally.
You know? Yeah, yeah. That's a perfect example of, like, I've been watching the news and I'm like, that is stupid. Absolutely not. But then I'm like, well, I don't really have an answer. I don't have a solution. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody really does. And so we all have to, it's coming to the point where we all have to kind of just, I think, you know, there's sacrifices will be made, but ultimately we've got to put our heads together and do what's never been done before, or at least never been done before in our lifetime, right? This has happened before.
No, exactly. I was talking to Colleen yesterday about it, and I asked her, I said, is it possible that on some level we're grieving? And she was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Aspects of our life, this time, this period, whatever, what was.
My 401k.
We're used to. Yeah. 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 Did you have anything going on before all of this? Did you get the plug pulled on you personally, or?
Yo, I was, luckily, like, I say luckily, like, for me, luckily, no.
Okay.
Pilot season, Brian, this year, because this is the first year that I started pilot season with my new agency that is in New York. And prior to that, I'd never had an agent that was in the position to, like, that had their relationships with these big casting directors. And my manager would only be able to get me self-tapes. So I was literally, I was going into the room 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow.
And for series regular CW pilots, ABC, CBS.
Yep.
I was crushing. I was getting callbacks. I had producer sessions, director sessions. There was one pilot that it was like 2 days before I left New York, I had just gotten a callback. And honestly, I don't even know what happened with that callback because I had auditioned for that show already 2 other times for different characters. It was one of those feelings where you're like, I'm probably going to be on this pilot, right? And whether the pilot gets picked up or not, who knows? But
right.
I don't even know. What I've last heard in the industry is that all the pilot season is completely done. And that if the studios are going or the networks are going to pick up anything, it's just going to be purely based on the script.
Yeah.
And most likely they're not even going to do that. It's only going to be the couple projects that they truly, truly love. You know,
wow.
I just think about all the kids that booked the other pilots that they didn't shoot yet, that it was their first job or it was their first big job. And if the pilot had gotten picked up, it could have been a huge career starter. They're probably not going to make that pilot. That freaking sucks. Like,
it does suck. It does suck.
Everybody in this profession, whether they're the most famous person or if they're a casting director or director, everyone's hungry to work right now. So, you know, as long as we're not super hit financially in terms of the producers being able to create, we're still going to be, it's going to be just as hard to still get a job, but we're going to be okay in terms of our industry moving forward. You know, these are the things that keep me up at night anyways. It's like, have we completely with COVID-19, have we completely lost the movie theater experience?
I'm going to say no, because you got to think we're going to get to a point where they're like, it's safe to go back in the water.
Right. But I guess I don't even mean it so much from like a fear of going in crowded places. I think you're right. I think as humans, we will overcome that. But just from a point of like, for instance, The Invisible Man that just came out, you know, in the theaters for a week or two with Elizabeth Moss. It's a scary movie, but you know, it's got her in it and a couple other people. It was out for 2 weeks and then they immediately made it available to pay-per-view, so you could rent it for $20.
Oh,
Right. And that's what we did. We were in Miami and we rented it and we watched it. And, you know, it was a room of seven of us watching it for $20. It was kind of sick. And me personally, I don't even like going to the movie theater. So I am like, go ahead and just make movies, big budget movies, and let me rent them for $20 or $15 or whatever. I'm, these are the things I'm starting to think about. Are we ever going to go back to normalcy in that way? Or are movie theaters going to be so kind of niche now where it's like, oh, did you go to the movies and see this because it was available?
Yeah, boy. Well, then you got to think, man, are they going to have to start making movies for a lot less money?
Mm-hmm.
Because your seven ticket prices for $20, that's a big hit across the country.
Right.
Yeah. So who's going
to... I know.
As a studio, who's going to be okay with that?
Right.
Because then everybody's rates are coming down.
Yep. And the other thing that I was thinking about too, this isn't quite connected with it, but you know, I don't know if you've heard of Quibi, that streaming service.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting to read the kind of the financial arguments of this, because it's like, what better time than now to come out with a new streaming platform because everyone's at home? Also, what worse time to come out for a streaming platform because no one has money to spend on frivolous streaming? And, you know, it's like, which way is it going to go? And those are the things that for our industry that I'm really curious to see, because I do think that could have lasting, this pandemic could have lasting effects on things like that.
We're one day closer. Whatever that means, we're one day closer.
I might be one day closer to losing my fucking head, but yeah, we're one day closer.
And see? I'd want to see that from a distance. I'd love to see you lose your shit. See what happens then. Yeah. And
you're
just
right,
to try and stay as hopeful and optimistic as possible, because the reverse is not a good look, because we still got a long way to go, it seems like.
I told myself that this is obviously a very appropriate time to just take care of my body, right? Similar to what I told the students that I talked to last week. It's like, I want to make sure that once this ends and we start going back to auditions, that I am physically like the best. You know, right now I got my quarantine beard going, so you can't. But like, my face is getting thinner again. I'm physically getting into my best shape, so that's obviously something that's important for me in the roles that I go out for. So I am running like almost every day, trying to
get my P90X body.
Yeah, I mean, that will never probably happen, but trying to get like my pee body. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the 90X is never going to be there, but if I can just get like pee.
Oh my God.
Are you not
a big workout guy?
No, I fucking hate it.
Because you're trim and fit? Oh, okay.
I'm slim, but like I'm skinny fat, and I have always been. And like, I'm cool with it for the most part. Like, I'm comfortable in my body, but I just also can say, like, I'm not going to get this role on this show because they want him to have a sex scene with his shirt off and they're not going to cast me. So I get it. And I want those roles sometimes. So I'm working towards that. I've been reading a self-help book. That's really helpful. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Most people know.
Oh,
it.
Yeah.
I actually, I started reading it because I was listening to your podcast.
With Brett Gentile.
Yes, Brett had such like a religious experience with the book that I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to read it. I'm on like page 100, and it's everything you cracked it up to be. So if whoever's listening now, go listen to Brett Gentile's episode, listen to him talk about the book, and then buy the book because it's actually really, really great.
I miss sports.
Dude.
I miss the sports ball.
We lost them so long ago, it seems like. I don't even remember what it was like to have them.
We arguably
had one of the best NBA seasons happening right before our eyes. Like it was getting kind of shaped up to be just a sick playoff season. You know, you got the Carolina Panthers doing who God knows what. I was the biggest Panthers fan, and now I'm absolutely not a fan. There's no golf even. You know, you're like, oh, it's like you can still golf. Well,
no,
you actually can. Like
no, last weekend I watched on YouTube the final round of the 1986 Masters. When Jack Nicklaus won. And then I watched the 97 Masters when Tiger won his first one. Because I was just like, I need some sense of normalcy. I need to sit down with a beer and watch the final round of the Masters and eat potato chips.
2020 sucks. I'm sorry. You know, I was all positive until you brought up the sports. And then you reminded me what a hell we're living in right now.
Right.
I can't do it.
I started calling COVID or coronavirus the new C word, because I didn't want to even give it the credit of having its own, like, true name, you know? Well, dude, man, I appreciate you taking the time to just come and hang out and catch up and just talk about what's going on with you and helping me reach out to everybody and just, again, hopefully remind everyone that we're doing everything we can, at least in my power and by association yours, to help remind everyone that we are in this together and that we're trying to be there for each other as much as possible. So, you know, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for dropping a line to me to even invite me back. Yeah, I love talking to you. This was much needed. I know the last time I saw you, I said I wanted to have a drink with you, and I didn't envision it being this way.
Virtual.
But it is what it is, and it's not always so. I'm excited to watch Ozark now. I did not know you were in it, and I'm very excited.
So this has been Tyler Barnhart visiting us again on You May Have Seen. Thank you so much for joining us.
I want to thank Tyler Barnhart and Drew Matthews for giving us a little break from the day-to-day and hanging out with me, talking with me, and giving me, and hopefully all of you, maybe just a little more hope and inspiration. I want to quickly thank all the frontline workers for fighting the battles that we can't and doing all the hard stuff in order to keep us alive and safe. This has been You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisiting. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.